أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة
والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. الحمد لله. إن شاء الله tomorrow is the beginning of the month of Ramadan and I'd like to share with you some of the concept about the month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us and give us the life as an opportunity to qualify ourselves by ourselves to His mercy in the stages to come after death. So, for the eternal life. And we get the consequence of what we do in our life. If you do good, in the hereafter, inshallah, it will be good. If you do bad, you get bad. And never think that what you do does not count. Everything you do, it counts. When you come down to it, every one of us want to do good. Why? Because every one of us want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with Him. And every one of us want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them mercy and take Him to paradise. But what does the reality say? The reality says that we are, even with that our intention, that we do mistakes. We do disobedience. And that act of disobedience takes us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy. One step after the other, and one day after the other. We do the mistakes, we explain it to ourselves, we end up doing it again and again and again, till it comes to be habit. And right turn out to be wrong, and wrong turn out to be right. And we keep on going. And we think we are right and we are cool and we ended up doing what Allah displeased with us. But now today we need to know what are those things that make us, as long as we want to be good and we want to do good and we do things bad. There are actually four major categories. Today I will talk about only the first category because it is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want us to pay attention to. Because they all build it on each other. So if the first one stops, automatically the second, the third, the fourth will disappear. You disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as adult person because of two things. Number one, the need of your stomach. Number two, the biological need, the sexual need. These two, they are the one who drive you to the acts that disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that level. So here it comes, the value of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, okay, even if I give you and I told you and I send you the messenger and I told you everything, I am giving you one more chance. And in this chance, what I want to do, what I want you to do in it is to reconcile. How? Listen to this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. So the purpose of the fasting is taqwa, to develop piety. We need to know what is piety and we need to know what is fasting. So as long as these are the drives, the need of the stomach and the biological need, and they are the one who control you, so what is fasting? In Sharia, fasting is abstaining from food and drink and sexual behavior from dawn till the sunset of the month of Ramadan as an act of worship. You are abstaining. Or by another word, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, I am giving you one more chance where you control yourself and control these things instead of these things control you. Now they control you and took you bad. Now I'm teaching you and giving you opportunity to learn how to say no. When you see the food, you say no. You see the drink, you say no. You see the biological need and you say no. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. That means developing God conscious. So what is the fruit of fasting? Is piety. Taqwa. That is what it's supposed to develop. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامِ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So the purpose is the piety. What is piety? Piety, that means taking precaution. When you see a contagious disease in one area and you say, I'm going to go and take, let us say, the flu, and you go, I'm going to take a flu shot. What you are doing here, you are doing a precaution to not to get hurt. Taking a shield against harm. Doing any activity against harm. That's the word taqwa. Qah. Yattaqi. That means protect yourself from the harm. And what is that harm that we are after? Allah anger. Not a germ, not a bacteria, not flu, but we don't want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord, the one who created us, to be angry with us. We want Him all the time to be pleased with us. He did not create us to go bad. He did not create us to make our life miserable or to make us suffer. But we suffer as a consequence of our wrongdoing. So what is the taqwa now? I defined the meaning of it, but what are the components of taqwa? Or how to acquire taqwa? How we get the taqwa? There are five things, brother and sister, we have to do. Five main things you have to do. And please keep those things in your head, because those are the protocols that control your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the five things that you are required all the time to adhere to them and to pay attention to them. What are those? Number one, the fear of Allah. Number two, applying the Quran and the Sunnah in your life. Number three, accepting Allah's decree in your life. Number four, getting ready to leave. Number five, hoping in Allah's mercy that He will accept what you do. Five major things, please don't forget. The first one, the fear of Allah. You have to have enough in your heart. Fear, brothers and sisters, can be generated and generate with it hate. You do something out of fear, but you hate the source of fear. Somebody put a gun on your head, you will be afraid and you will obey. But that's not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the relationship between you and Him depend on confidence, and between depend on love. But at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to have the right value about Him in your heart. Some people take the word God or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very lightly, and sometimes even they joke about it, and they think they take this advantage of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala patient, and they think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not aware by what they are doing, and they keep on and on and on and on. You need to know that you are dealing with the powerful. What would happen if I tell you right now, while where we are sitting here, two big lions coming from that door and two big lions coming from that door? How you feel? How about the one who created millions of lions? The one who created heaven and earth. You don't take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for granted, and you don't take advantage of His patience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so patient because His justice is justice and His punishment is very severe. So He's giving you opportunities. Take advantage of those opportunities, but don't take advantage of His patience. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned, and Ramadan is one of those opportunities, is giving you a chance to clean up and to have a new restart. So you have to know all the time, you have to have in your heart what is called al-khashya, khashyatillah. And what is khashyatillah? Khashyatillah is the love enough to promote you to obey. So you obey because you love. And fear enough to stop you from wrongdoing. Most of us look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, astaghfirullah al-azim, as if He is a blessing manager. You want Him to work for you. When you even pray or you do something, give me, He already giving you, and He already gonna give you. You know why? Because He already decided, I called upon you to live, I am responsible for you. أَرَعَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَمْسَكَ رِزْقَهُ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold what He gives, who gonna give you? No one. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching us responsibility. He said, you are my act, I'm responsible for you. You believed or not. So your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supposed to be in khashya. Love enough to promote you to obey Him, and fear enough to not to take Him for granted and to not to dare to disobey Him. That is the first element. And I'm going to give you an example to know that, to know the magnitude of whom you're dealing with. When Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can I see you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, you are not going to be able to see me, but I will make that mountain feel my presence. Just to feel my presence. فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّ لِلْجَبَلِ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the mountain feel Allah present, what happened to the mountain? Completely got destructed. Can you imagine a mountain flatten up? That can show you who you're dealing with. He's the one who is in His kingdom, is a known kingdom to us. In the description of the planet Earth, it is like one little sand in an ocean. Can you have some aspects about His mighty? You are dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the universe, the one who created us all and gave us all. The second, al-amalu bil-tanzeel, which is you apply what's in the Quran and the Sunnah. What is the value of the Quran and what is the value of the Sunnah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, خلق النفس فسواها وألهمها فجورها وتقواها، قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دثاها. That means Allah, to make the long story short, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when I created every one of you, I put in him a program. And that program make him or her able to know automatically what is right and what is wrong. And that's called the conscious. The program name is the conscious. You know when you do wrong, you know it. You know what when you do right, you also know it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, He send it to you the messengers and send it to you revelations. Like the Quran, the last revelation of Allah, to tell you what is the best way to invest your life. It's not how to do right, but what are the best rights and what is the best ways to do that right. And the value of the messenger in your life and mine, he is the role model of how to implement that. He is not the one who is just coming and tell you do this and do that, but he is the one who is sharing and says, listen, for obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to do that, and this is how we do it. And see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, وَلَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. You have in Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the best role model to whomever seeking the Lord mercy and seeking the hereafter. So we have to take that very careful. Okay, the key in this area is not to be a scholar and not to be learned and not to know everything. No, that's not the key. Because a lot of good people lived and died and they don't even know the whole thing. But the key is this. Know every day, every single day, little bit, very little bit, and apply them and stick to them. And you never turn your back on them. So you don't need to wait till you learn to apply and to be a good Muslim. You don't need to wait. And you don't need to be a scholar. But little bit, learn every day. It can take you 5 minutes, nothing more than that, to learn one hadith in one subject, or to learn one ayah in one subject. And there is a lot of good books like Riyadh al-Salihin and others, and Minhaj al-Muslim and others and others and others. You can take that right by your bed, and you make it just like you are taking a vitamin pill. Take this pill every single day, and apply them in your life. Can you imagine if you do that every single day, at the end of the year, how many you have? You have 365 or 66 hadiths. You applied, you changed your whole behavior. You are improving in 366 area. Can you imagine? Just do it every single day. 5 minutes, nothing more than that. But what are the consequences of not doing that? I have a common sense, you have a common sense, everybody can have a common sense, and you can follow the common sense. If you do not follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you create a vacuum, it will be filled by what is called convenience. You will do what is convenient. You will do what you think it is right, not what you know it is right. And what is convenient to you is different from me. What is right to you is not right to me. The publisher of the Playboy magazine, which is he's promoting blasphemy, promoting wrongdoing, promoting al-fahsha every single second, in one interview, what he's saying? He say, I am a man ahead of my time. Why, mister, you are ahead of your time? He said, God sended me as a prophet to educate males how to deal with females. Thank you very much. As if the humanity up to that time, it did not know what is this relationship. Animals doing it. Birds doing it. Insects doing it. What is the problem, man? But everybody justify his own behavior and come up with the guy is calling himself a saint. Send it from God. Not to promote pornography, but to promote education. That's his view. So if everybody follow his own, everybody will do what is convenient for him and for her. And here it comes in the value of always stick to the same standard. And once you stick to the same standard, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُذَّكِرٍ. That means what? We made it convenient. We are not asking you to do something extraordinary. We are not asking you to do something that you cannot afford. We are not asking you to do something that you have to go out of your way to do it. You fast once a year, 1 month a year. You pray 5 times a day, 3-4 minutes every day, and time 5, that's less than half an hour, right there. And you have 23 and a half hours to live. And others and others and others and others. And it is an opportunity for you to build yourself and to qualify to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy. The third element, brothers and sisters, is accepting Allah's decree. First of all, learn that you are a unique creature. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create two of you in the history of mankind. You are a unique. Every one of us is a complete unique. So it is crime to think that you are created by coincidence. No, you are unique to do a unique job. Never compare yourself with anyone. Never. Because what you got is nothing more than tools. And what other person got is another tools. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَمَ. That means when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you prosperity, it is nothing more than tools. What you're going to make by the tools, that's what you. So it is not important what you got. The more important is what you do with what you got. You have poverty, maybe that's the best for you. You have money, maybe that's the best for you. You have education, maybe that's the best for you. You don't have that much education, that's the best for you. But you have to find out, every one of us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him a strong point and weak point. Your job is to find out what you are strong at and invest it. And never ever compare yourself with anybody. Never. Allah created you unique. Because immediately when you start to compare, you're going to compare your weak point with other people's strong point. And what is that going to generate? Nothing but a disappointment and hate. No. You are a man like me. Allah gave you this and He gave me that. My task is to invest what I got. Your task is to invest what you got. What is the bottom line? The one who knows how to invest what Allah gave him is the winner. Maybe you are sick. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving. Invest in the sickness. And I mean it, invest in the sickness. To get closer to Allah. Maybe Allah wants you to make dua, supplication. Maybe you got health. Invest in the health. Whatever you got. So accepting what Allah decree. Why? Because it is not important what you got. What is really important is what you do with what you got. Please keep that in mind. We are wasting so much time. We are wasting our life bickering about, if I got this, I would have done. No, you are not. If that is better for you, Allah would have given it you before you ask. Listen to me. Yesterday when you were sleeping, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala figure out what He gonna give you for breakfast, what He gonna give you for dinner, if there is a breakfast and dinner for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a raziq because He is the one who gives everyone what he needs, what's good for him, before he or she asks for it. He gives you before you ask. This is why he's a raziq. A raziq is not the one who gives when you ask. It's the one who gives before even you ask, before even you know that you need. Allah provides for the baby before even the baby cry. He gives the mother milk. You have to have a confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you accept whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you. And believing that's best for you. It is a tool, I'm going to use it to get closer. That's all into it. Allah did not create some to be superior. And He did not create some to be inferior. No. كلكم لآدم وآدم من تراب. We all starting from the same starting point. What you're going to make with the life and what you get in life, that is you. خيركم عند الله أتقاكم. The best among you by piety. That's it. No other standard in the eyes of Allah. Element number 4. الاستعداد للرحيل. Be ready to leave. Our dilemma in this area is very easy. We all know we're going to die. And we all think yes, but it is a little bit early to speak about it. When I get old, probably I will die. Where you got this confidence? Who did you sign a contract to live till 50 and 60 and 70 and 80? When death comes, death is very well calculated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it hits you when He wants, not when you want. And it does not give introductions. And it does not give permission. And it does not send warnings. And I hope that most of you, if you have any computers, please, when you go home today, make a point to go to YouTube and write down the word under the videos, write down sudden death. Sudden death. And you will see wonders. How people died. One of them in the Portuguese, one of the best 10 soccer players, running in the field like a lion. I mounted the amount of time that it took. Running like a lion. Hit one of his, whatever the other team opponent's shoulder. The ball went offside. He went out. He threw the ball. Came back to across the line. Put his hand on his knees and collapsed. Gone. And he's 20 some years old. From the minute he is running like a lion, I figured it out. From running like a lion to the complete death, 19 seconds. And when they do the autopsy, did the autopsy on him, what happened? No one single reason. He's dying. Another one you will see, Anchorman, she's a lady, giving the news and keep talking and talking and talking and did not even stop. Boom. And that was the end. Another one, interview a group of people sitting down. All these videos you can watch and mount how many seconds. And they are talking about 4 or 5 people sitting down with the anchor man and talking and speaking. And before you know, a man made his head to the back. No even ah. And because there is nothing to worry about, they kept talking. And when they directed their faces to him to ask him the question or to see his comment, that's what they realized he was dead. Your problem is you think the potential for the other guy sitting next to you to die is more than you. Wallahi, maybe you already ate your last meal already. And you already had your last sip of water. And you already now breathing the last of your breath that Allah dedicated to you as a provisions. وَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. Never take it for granted. Take it as opportunity. And be ready to leave in any second. Now, if I'm going to ask myself this question, and I ask you that question. If the angel of death is going to come to you now, are you ready? Can you say, Alhamdulillah, I did the best that I can do? I finished doing everything and preparing myself? Am I ready? If Allah give me one more minute, I'll do more? Or we are sitting down living in a state of suspend, living in routines, waking up, whatever, watching the news, having a breakfast, go to job and come back and watch the news and go to sleep. What did you do to develop yourself? The shaitan, if he cannot make you do bad, he will help you to not to do good and to be in a state of suspense, where your life will be passing by without you doing no development. Can you imagine a fetus of the mother almost stopped to develop? Do you expect after 9 months that baby will born to be healthy? It will be dead. And don't expect it after the 9 months. So be ready to leave. And saying be ready to leave, that means feel that you're going to die. Don't understand that you're going to die. Because if you feel that's what you're going to die, your behavior will be different. You will know how to set your priority. Now if I'm going to ask you, please write a list. When you go home, write a list. Tell me or write down 10 problems bothering the daylight out of you and making your life miserable. Every one of us can write more than 10. My job, my supervisor, my neighbor, the dog in my neighborhood, my wife, my child, my. Okay, cool. Now, I'm going to ask you this. If I'm going to come and tell you have only 3 minutes to live, what is your problem? Believe me, 99% of us, none of those 10 problems will be on your list. Your major list is going to be seek forgiveness and how Allah will see me. Did Allah accept me or not? That is your problem. Muslims have only one goal and one problem. And that's it. That's the Muslim life. One goal, one problem. What is the goal? How to use all the life and what's in it to qualify to Allah's mercy. And what is the problem? And the problem is in any given time you don't know how Allah sees you. Is Allah pleased with you or not? Look at yourself and a major big parking lot have thousands of cars. Who will notice you? What is your value among all of those? How you qualify yourself and stand out of all of these thousands? How Allah see you? Especially He has billions of you. Why Allah, ask yourself, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should have mercy on me? Ask yourself. What is it that's unique on you that can make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you mercy and make you stand out? What is it? You have to find out that. And that's how you prepare for your end. Most of us, even when we do a good deed, we think we are dealing with a bank account. I put $100, I had $200, I have now $300. Sorry, this is not the accounting system that you deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's lead us to the last number, the last element, which is hoping in Allah acceptance of what you do. That's the element number 5. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has His own quality assurance. إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبُ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا الطَّيِّبُ. Allah is all pure and goodness and good, and He does not accept but what good. Look at what you do and how you do it and when you do it. How many times when you finish a prayer you say, Ya Allah, please accept. But no, we think a bank account. Check mark. I prayed the Dhuhr, I prayed the Asr, I prayed the Maghrib. And what? Allahu Akbar. And where is your mind? Did you feel that you are between the hands and speaking to the Lord of the universe? No, you are thinking about what you're going to eat. Look at that neighbor, what he did to me. Look at the car, do I have a gas or not? And Allahu Akbar, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And what we got? Subhanallah. Look even to what we do, sometimes to make us look good. Sometimes we do that as a social status, to look good in the front of the people, or you're going to run for election, or whatever there is you do, if you're going to do donation or you're going to do something. Remember, إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبْ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا الطَّيِّبْ. And whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whomever will do something and associating intention with me, I am rich enough to let the other one take it. That means if you do something for yourself and for Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to say, no, you take it. If you do it for the people, let the people take it. Allah only accept what's it for Him. What you do only for Him, to please Him, to satisfy Him, to thank Him. And you have to keep that in mind. And believe me, that is the hardest task in your life, is to know how to distinguish and how to separate and how to identify the good deed from the noble deed, and to know what you are doing is for Allah or it is not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I hope inshaAllah that the month of Ramadan, that it will be another new beginning for us, inshaAllah ta'ala, starting tomorrow. So it is not only abstaining from water or from eating and from sexual behavior from the dawn till the sunset, but it is a new beginning. Allah giving it to you out of your mercy. Use it. Take advantage of it. And let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and acceptance, and ask Him to give us the wisdom and the courage to study the teaching of the Holy Quran and teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and apply Him in our life so we can live in peace and die in peace, and inshaAllah the hereafter will be in peace and will be among the companion of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. I just want to very very briefly share with you some very highlight point, and not going to take maybe 2-3 minutes, about how we get ready for tomorrow. Number one, when you come to the masjid, what do? You leave your shoes out. Exactly with the month of Ramadan, leave the dispute out. Don't please sleep tonight. If you have any disagreement with anybody, you have a hard feeling, clear it up. That's the time to not to worry about who is right and who is wrong. That's not the time. Especially if you don't know when you're going to die. Clear it up. Except if the disagreement related to Allah right, that you wait till Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala settle that issue. That's number one. Number two, make sure that you're going to get in and your parents are happy with you. You're going to say, my parents died. I'm going to say no. As long as you are alive, your obligation to them is still alive. Maybe they are in their grave. Start by seeking forgiveness to them. Do the good deed on their behalf. Making dua in their behalf. That's your job. Our job, our obligation to our parents does not end by their death. Our obligation to our parents end by our own death. When we die, the obligation finished. They are not Muslim. They are your parents. They have the same right. The only exception, if they are asking you to do something wrong that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be displeased with, or Allah forbid. Other than that, you have to be very kind and very caring for your parents. Make a point, if you are living with them or you are not living with them, make a point, if you are a Muslim, to go and let them feel your love, your appreciation. Obey them, help them. That's what the Islam is all about, having mercy on them. So don't start with dispute in the month of Ramadan. Number two, take care of your parents. Very quickly, number three, the whole month of Ramadan about one word, change. You change what you do. And the problem is we are willing to do the change when we have time, when it is convenient. No, in the month of Ramadan, we will make the change and we will make it convenient. That means we will reschedule everything. If you have an airplane, 2 o'clock, you reschedule your day. You have a schedule to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you never know when. Opportunity, take it. Do more charity. Do more reading. Do more understanding. Do more prayer. Do be like a wind in the month of Ramadan. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Let us start this. Please, for everything you start, all the time Ramadan is a new milestone, a new stage. You learn in it and you recharge for the next year. Let us learn this. You start everything by Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And you end everything by Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. You thank Allah and you ask Him to accept. And automatically, how you will do something wrong and you start it by Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, it will stop you. And even if it was so powerful and you slipped, you already have the habit and say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So in this case you realize you are doing wrong. So your conscience is waking up. Instead you're going to say Alhamdulillah, you're going to say Astaghfirullah walhamdulillah. You will say Astaghfirullah because of what you did. Alhamdulillah that He wake you up and put you in the mechanic that it makes you to say Astaghfirullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, وَمَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهِ بِعَذَابَكُمْ إِنْ آمَنْتُمْ وَشَكَرْتُمْ. Allah doesn't want to punish you. Allah doesn't want you to suffer. Allah doesn't want you to be in harm. All He said, obey me. All, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the peace in this life and the peace after. وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِي قَلْبَهِ. Whomever believes in Allah and apply, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide his soul. Allah take him in His custody. What is it you and I want more than having Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of all of that universe reach out and get your heart and say, this is mine. You are under my custody. And the shaitan said, لَأَغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, I will tempt them all except who? عِبَادَكَ الْمُخْلَصِينَ, the sincere one, I know from the beginning I cannot tackle them. Run to this defense system. Run. I want to finish the khutbah by saying this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Hadith Qudsi, لَمْ تَسَعْنِي سَمَائِي وَلَمْ تَسَعْنِي أَرْضِي وَلَكِنْ يَسَعَنِي قَلْبَ عَبْدٍ مُؤْمِنٍ. All that universe, all heaven, all earth cannot contain my glory. But what can contain my glory is the heart of a sincere believer. I hope inshallah we will be that sincere believer, where nothing live in that heart but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no light in it but the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I hope inshallah that Ramadan will be the best Ramadan for you and me, and will be the starting point. Let us be the brothers in that time. Let us help each other. Let us work with each other. Break fast with each other. And be a mercy to each other. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and grant us mercy and give us the courage and the wisdom to study the teaching in the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and apply him in our life, so we can live in peace and we can die in peace, and in the hereafter we'll be in peace and we'll be among the companions of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. عباد الله قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحون. عباد الله, إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم, ولذكر الله أكبر, والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم